Acts, the 8th chapter. In a moment, we're going to begin reading about verse 26 of Acts chapter 8. A question that plagues many of us as Christians is the question of why don't we share our faith more? And I know that there are probably many, many reasons why we don't share our faith like we'd like to. First of all, there's the problem of ignorance. Sometimes we feel as though we don't know enough, but more often than that, we feel like we don't know how to go about sharing our faith. And so we hold back. And sometimes there's the problem of indifference. I'm well fed and I'm doing fine in the kingdom of God and my family is doing well, and so I don't mind helping to pick up the tab to let someone else do the evangelizing. And then sometimes there's the problem of fear. None of us likes to be made a fool of. None of us likes to be asked a question that we don't know the answer to. None of us likes the possibility of a hostile response on the part of someone as we try to share our faith with them. And so we hold back and we're fearful. We fail to speak a word for Jesus. We all would like to lead somebody to Christ. We'd all like the joy of seeing someone that we know and care about give their hearts and their lives to Jesus. Yet we kind of withdraw into our shells and let someone else do the evangelizing. Are there any guidelines that can help me come out of my shell? Are there any guidelines that can help me do what I need to do to share my faith in Jesus? Yes, there are. And tucked away in a very, very familiar passage to most of us are some guidelines as we look at an evangelist at work that can help us do better at sharing our faith. The story of Philip and the Ethiopian eunuch is a familiar story. But for the most part, we always center our attention on the eunuch. And we see what his response to Philip was, and we focus our attention on that. This morning, I want us to focus our attention on Philip and see the guidelines that Philip used as he led this person to Christ. This is going to be very practical. If you have a pencil in front of you, I'd like for you to get it out and write some words in the margin of your Bible as we go through, as we see these guidelines that Philip followed. Now, the background of Acts 8:26 is this. There's been a massive turning to God in Samaria. Some might call it a tremendous revival, because thousands and thousands of people have been giving their lives to Christ in the area of Samaria, and Philip is one of the mainstays in that movement. And humanly speaking, there is no reason whatsoever for Philip to leave Samaria to go to someplace else. And right in the midst of this tremendous revival taking place in Samaria, God, it seems, does something very strange. He calls Philip out of where the action is to go down to a desert road that's south of Jerusalem. The Bible says in verse 26, "Now an angel of the Lord said to Philip, 'Go south to the road, the desert road, that goes down from Jerusalem to Gaza.'" I want you to write in the margin of your Bible the word sensitivity. Sensitivity. And the next verse starts out, verse 27, "So he started out." And right under that, next to that, verse 27, write the word availability. These are Siamese twins. They go together. Sensitivity and availability. Right in the midst of a massive revival in Samaria, the Spirit of God says to Philip, "I want you to go down south of Jerusalem to the road that goes to Gaza." And Philip was sensitive enough to the will of God and available enough because of his surrender to God, he got up and took off just like God asked him to do. Sensitivity and availability. Until we come to the place, folks, where we are sensitive to what God wants us to do and surrendered enough that we are available to His call, we will never be able to share our faith as we'd like to do. Bible continues, on his way he met an Ethiopian eunuch, an important official in charge of all of the treasury of Candace, queen of the Ethiopians. This man had gone to Jerusalem to worship. He'd been to church, but he hadn't found the Lord. That's not uncommon, is it? This man had been to Jerusalem to worship, but he hadn't found the Lord. And the Bible says he's on his way home, sitting in his chariot, reading the book of Isaiah the prophet. I want you to note that in all of those verses, there's not one word of explanation by God to Philip as to why he's going down there south of Jerusalem. I mean, it would seem if God is going to uproot this man, he would have at least given him some degree of explanation as to why he wanted him to go. No explanation is given. God already has the plan in mind for Philip, and he doesn't tell him a word about it. He just says, Philip, I want you to go, and Philip is available enough that he went. And as he gets down there in the middle of nowhere, left all of the action in Samaria behind, he gets down there in the middle of nowhere, and he sees this chariot coming down the road. You see the dust pockets coming up behind the chariot. And all of a sudden, Philip must have been thinking, boy, here comes somebody. Maybe this is the reason God led me down here. What is God going to do through me today? Folks, when you're sensitive and available, that kind of anticipation can be experienced every day in Christ. You may not have an Ethiopian eunuch come riding by on a chariot in your life every day. In fact, you won't. But when you are sensitive to the will of God and available to His call, you're going to find a chance to share your faith in some of the most unusual, most unpredictable circumstances in this world. Because it seems that God is always bringing opportunities to us in the most unexpected times. He presents us with opportunity after opportunity after opportunity, and many of the times we don't even see it because we aren't sensitive enough or available enough to share our faith. Verse 29, the Bible says, the Spirit told Philip, go to that chariot and stay near it. Verse 30, we find the third guideline. Then Philip ran up to the chariot and heard the man reading Isaiah the prophet. He asked him a question. Do you understand what you're reading? Write the word next to that, initiative. Initiative. Here is a sensitive, available man who, when he sees the opportunity, takes the initiative to get involved in a discussion about Jesus. And he asked him a question that led to further discussion. He said, do you understand what you're reading? Boy, there are thousands and thousands of initiative questions you can ask. Just use your imagination to get into a discussion with somebody about Jesus. I don't know, you might say, you know, I'm a student of biographies. And I love the stories of great men and women. Who do you think is the greatest man who ever lived? Or I've been noticing you hadn't been yourself. Like you've been kind of down and depressed, kind of not yourself. Is there anything I can do? I'd love to help. Would you share with me? What the problem is, and maybe I can share with you an answer. It might help. Or, you know, I've been reading magazines on world events, and boy, things are in a mess. What do you think the answer is? Initiative. Folks, once God presents us with the opportunity, unless we take the initiative to get involved with them, we'll never, ever share our faith like we ought. Many of our family knows Dale and Evelyn Lundy. Dale and Evelyn used to be members here at where at the village. Dale and I have gone out many times to teach somebody the good news about Jesus. Very evangelistic guy. He's as bold as a burglar, they might say. He's not afraid to ask anybody what they think about the Lord. And Dale was on business, and he was in the Memphis airport. And as he's down there in the Memphis airport, walking through the airport, he said, I looked over there, and he said, there was a black man seated there in a seat, had his Bible open, and was reading from the Scriptures. He said, I couldn't believe it. I thought I was back in Acts 8 and I'd found the Ethiopian eunuch. He said, I went over there and said, do you understand what you're reading? He said, it turns out the guy was Willie Franklin. For those of you who don't know Willie Franklin, he's one of the most fantastic preachers of the gospel in our brotherhood. But here is Dale walking up and at least using some initiative and said, do you understand what you're reading? He did. I don't know, maybe you've read some of Ann Kimmel's stuff. She's a very unique individual. She's got a rather unique initiative that she uses. She says, "Can I sing to you?" And with remarkable skill, she's able to take that gift and to use it to share what she believes about Jesus. Now, can you picture in your imagination flying on an airplane and you're seated next to this very lovely young girl and she leans over and she says, "Can I sing to you?" If you say no, you offend her. And so you probably say yes, hoping she's going to sing softly, you know. "Can I sing to you?" I mean, she has got a unique approach, a unique way of getting into a conversation with somebody to tell them about Jesus. I have found that works for her. It doesn't work for me. Doesn't work for me. But before we put that approach down, maybe we ought to say, what approach am I using? What approach are you using? Find something that works and use the initiative to get involved in somebody's life. The Bible says, the eunuch responded, "How can I, unless someone explains it to me?" The eunuch was reading from this passage of Scripture. He was led like a sheep to the slaughter, and as a lamb before its shearer is silent, so he did not open his mouth. In his humiliation, he was deprived of justice. Who can speak of his descendants? For his life was taken from the earth. The eunuch asked Philip, "Tell me, please, who is the prophet talking about, himself or someone else?" I mean, he's come along, he's joined himself to this chariot, and the guy is reading from the very heart of messianic prophecy. And as he reads along, he turns and he asks the question Philip would just dream about being asked. Who is this guy talking about, himself or somebody else? And Philip now realizes, that's why God's brought me down here. God has led me down here to share my faith with this black man from Ethiopia. You see, folks, Philip was the link in the chain. And unless Philip explained and shared his faith with somebody, the chain is broken. And I want you to know this morning, you're a link in a chain to somebody. I don't know who it is, but you probably do if you think about it. And God has led you to a specific place in time, to a specific person, and He wants you to share your faith with Him in Christ. And if you don't do it, the chain is broken. Because you are the link between God and them. And you need to share what you found in Christ. The next guideline is found in verse 35. Then Philip began with that very passage of Scripture and told him the good news about Jesus. Write the little word in the margin of your Bible next to verse 35. Preciseness. Preciseness. As this man asked the question, who's he talking about? The Bible says he began with him at that very Scripture. He didn't begin where he wanted the man to be. He began where he found him. That's where we've got to begin. And from that point, he told him about Jesus. He didn't talk about instruments of music in the church. He didn't talk about church attendance. He didn't talk about a millennium, if there is or there is not. He didn't talk about the second coming. He didn't talk about any of those things. He talked about Jesus. And he was precise in that. You're going to find that 99% of the people you talk to have never made a real close personal examination of Jesus. They might know what they believe about church attendance. They might know what they believe about a rapture, quote unquote. They might know what they believe about the second coming or a millennium or whatever. But you're going to find that about 99% of the people you talk to have never looked at the original documents and looked at Jesus. Well, we need to tell them about Jesus. We need to tell them about Jesus. A word of warning. Don't chase rabbits. You have a chance to share Jesus. People have a remarkable ability to get us off the subject of Jesus and onto the subject of instrumental music. They have a remarkable ability to get us off the subject of Jesus and onto the subject of abortion. Off the subject of Jesus. And on to the subject of the church scandal that broke 28 years ago when my mother and daddy left the church. Off the subject of Jesus. and on to the subject of, well, if God is good and God is gracious and God is love, why do we have all these injustices around us in the world? Stay on Jesus. Philip began with that passage of Scripture and told him the good news about Jesus. Be precise in that. On December the 30th, 1971, I was baptized in Christ. And Gary Beecham and I had had a friendship that had been going for over a year. And finally, he came over to my house one Wednesday night after church, and he sat down in my living room, and he began to say, "It's time you made a decision about Jesus. What's keeping you from making your decision, your commitment to Christ?" I said, "Boy, I've got a lot of things that bother me. I want to know about this instrumental music in the church. I want to know about the Lord's Supper every Sunday, because I come out of a background that doesn't do..." He said, "Listen, all that stuff is peripheral. And all that's good questions and things that you need to learn later on. But right now, we're talking about your salvation. What do you think about Jesus? When are you going to make your commitment to Jesus?" And right then and there, I'd run out of excuses. And I was immersed in Christ that night. And one of the things I appreciate about Beecham was that night, he didn't let me get off on all that peripheral stuff that we have a tendency to get off on. He kept the focus of the attention on Jesus. Listen, folks. Christianity is not being rightly related initially to a doctrine. Christianity is being rightly related to a person, Jesus Christ. The doctrine is important. The doctrine is something we must learn. The doctrine God has given us is absolutely imperative, and we need to get in it. But first, we need to start with Jesus. Philip was precise and told him about Jesus. The last guideline, verse 36. As they traveled along the road, they came to some water, and the eunuch said, "Look, here's water. Why shouldn't I be baptized?" Last guideline, right next to verse 36. Decision. Decision. Philip had been sharing his faith, but all the time he was pointing to a place in time where he was going to ask that eunuch for a decision. That's where the whole process was consummated, in the decision. The best salesmen in the world are those who ultimately ask somebody to buy. And if you and I are just going out there telling the story and we never ask them to make their decision, we're going to fail to follow the guidelines of the Scripture. Philip led him to a decision. You don't have to go to a seminary. You don't have to have a degree in Bible. You don't have to have a course in systematic theology to ask somebody to make a decision. You can keep it simple. You can just say, "God has given us this magnificent gift in Jesus Christ. Won't you receive it? Won't you give your heart and your life to Jesus? Won't you let me baptize you into Him tonight, or this afternoon, or this morning?" There has to be a decision. The Bible says, "And he ordered the chariot to stop, and both Philip and the eunuch went down into the water, and Philip baptized him. And when they came up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord suddenly took Philip away, and the eunuch did not see him again, but went on his way rejoicing." The early church historians have suggested that when they went down, the gospel began to spread, and the evangelist went down, and they got to the area of Ethiopia. They already found hundreds and thousands of Christians. Where they come from? Probably. They came from a man who had been led to Christ by a man named Philip somewhere south of Jerusalem on a desert road. Somewhere south of Jerusalem, in a desert, God-forsaken place, this man put on Jesus, made his commitment to Christ. And he went on his way with joy. There isn't anything in the world quite as uplifting and as meaningful to walk down into the water with somebody you love and care about and watch them give their hearts and their lives to Jesus. That decision produces joy. And he went on his way rejoicing. Someone will undoubtedly say, but Ronnie, I just want to live my life. I just want to live my life of faith and let people see Jesus in me the way I live. I want to be a silent partner in this thing and just let me live my life and let people see it. I mean, don't you think it's more important to live the life of faith than it is to speak about the life of faith? That's like asking an airplane pilot, do you think that the right wing of this airplane, don't you think it's more important than the left wing of this airplane? Oh, folks, they're both equally important. Yes, it is absolutely important to model the message, because if you don't model the message, that's as good as no message at all. But the Bible says faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. We not only are commanded to live it, we're commanded to share it, to speak it. God help us to come out of our shells and understand we are a link in the chain that links somebody to God through the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's pray together. Father, we're so grateful to you that someone cared enough about us to share with us the good news about Jesus. We thank you, Father, for the mother or the father, the brother or the sister, the friend, the colleague at work, the minister that cared enough to take time out of their schedule, to be sensitive enough to your will, surrendered enough and available enough to your call, that they took the initiative to share their faith with us. Thank you, Father, for them. And Father, we pray you'll impress on our hearts in this quiet moment the importance of our, in turn, sharing what we found in Christ with someone else. Help us, Father, to be sensitive and available. Give us the courage to take the initiative. Help us to be precise and tell them about Jesus. And Father, we pray that the power of your word might produce decisions for Christ. We thank you, Father, for our salvation. We pray for the salvation of those who are outside of Christ now. Help us to lead them to you. We ask it through the name of Jesus, our Lord and Savior. Amen. I don't know, maybe you're here this morning and you've never really made a decision for Jesus. I want to ask you this morning, why not make it now? You probably know about Jesus. You know that He was the Son of God. You know that He emptied Himself and He came to this earth and He lived and He died on a cross, and on the third day He was raised by the power of God. You probably know that He's the living Lord and He reigns in heaven right now. And the question is, why don't you make your decision for Him and give your life to Him this morning? The question maybe you're asking is, why shouldn't I be baptized? That's what the eunuch asked. And the answer is, you should. You should. Why not come this morning and give the full of your heart, the full of your commitment to Christ, and be immersed in Him? And say, Lord, here I am, not much, but what I am and what I have is yours. You now are my Lord. And I want to have a new life in you. You'd like to make that decision this morning, or you'd like to come and you'd like to rededicate yourself to the Christ who loves you so, we invite you to come. If you'd like to come this morning and be a part of a congregation of people that are trying to get more and more serious all the time about what God tells us to do in regard to evangelism, we want you to come this morning. Whatever your need, whatever your response, would you come now while we stand and while we sing?